Do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host. If you want to call into today's show, our guest, ask a question or have a discussion, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, I have Senator Rob Meyer calling in from Juneau. And in the studio with me here, I have one of my bosses, Melissa Burnett, and she's already given me instructions on buttons to push. So Senator, you know, I've got upper management watching me closely.
I'm pushing his buttons today.
So Senator, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well today, David. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Well, I'm going to say you're doing better than me at this point.
Hey, you are the one who was like, sit down.
Yeah, right. Anyway, how's Juneau treating you right now?
Juneau is okay. Of course, you know, the hard part about Juneau is being away from home, away from family.
Yes, it is.
But we're doing okay. The snow came back. It's snowing and blowing outside a little bit. It's not Prudhoe, but, you know, it's not necessarily fun out there. But now the legislatures were kind of calming down a little bit right now. That may change a little later today or tomorrow, depending on certain actions by a couple of people. But
you are so polite, sir. But that, you know, that's in anyway.
I like how he put that. Yeah. Depends on a couple of people.
Now I have a relative who's walking the halls of Juneau today. And it's my brother, Dana. Uh-huh. He's with the Alaska General Contractors Association. And I want security to apprehend him, frisk him, give him a very forceful body cavity search.
And then tell him David and Melissa said, hey.
Yeah. Then said, oh, this is from your brother, and he has a police force.
Keep an eye out for him. I've talked to some folks from AGC recently. I did not realize he was in that crew. I think they're splitting up and hitting multiple offices at once.
He's a very fine person, very, very fine person. And he's also the chairman of ADA.
Yep.
So you'll be talking with him often. Now, let's go to the education bill. You know, that sucked a lot of the oxygen out of the room down there for the last month, it seems like.
It really has. You know, the Senate, we had a BSA bill on the floor last year. We passed that out in, I'm wanting to say, first part of April, something like that last year. We kind of had our debate, and it went over. Didn't go well, in my opinion. You know, I voted against it then. It went over to the House. We passed a couple of other education-related bills out of the Senate, including the one that is now taking up all the oxygen, which started out in the Senate as a bill to increase grants to rural school districts for getting internet broadband put in. And so that passed out of here late last year. And we started off the session with the House looking at that and saying, all right, we're going to take this bill that's already passed the Senate. We're going to put all of our education priorities into it and send that back over. And a whole lot going on in the background with that, different negotiations between the House and the Senate, between the House and the governor. Some portions of it fell apart in the House, and that, you know, delayed the process a couple of weeks. It finally passed the House in a more, I'd say, watered-down form than I would have liked last Thursday. And then came over to the Senate, and we voted to concur with the House changes on Monday, so yesterday. Again, not what I would have liked. It was more watered down. It was better than just a straight up increase. I think there was some increased money for transportation funding. That's been a big issue in the Fairbanks area.
Mm-hmm.
There was an extra position at the state level to help set up charter schools and help keep their paperwork maintained. But it wasn't nearly full on what the governor was hoping for. And so that's going to be the question. I'm expecting a statement from him either today or maybe tomorrow on what he's going to do with that bill. There's speculation that he may veto it. I haven't talked to him, so I don't know. But I know he's not happy with the final product. Interesting to watch kind of the last few weeks. What has happened, as I mentioned, is you had kind of multiple negotiations going on, but you never had a negotiation between all three of the parties at once. You had the House and the governor, or the House and the Senate, but you never had all three sitting down together. And I think that may be causing some of the problems that we're seeing.
It's been quite problematic. You know, I looked at that, I said to myself, the governor was quite diligent on wanting charter school funding,
yep,
teacher bonuses,
mm-hmm,
and those things didn't happen. So my personal thought is he's going to look at this and say, okay, I got two remedies for us. I can just veto it.
Right.
I don't get to put anything in, but I can cut out a lot of the pay increases that they gave.
Yep.
And so it should be interesting what he does. You know, you don't want to get a governor mad at you about something he really wants. And anyway, just my thought.
Yeah. And this is an issue that, since the middle of last year, he has shown an interest and a willingness to really stick his neck out.
Yeah.
He led.
He led on this. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so to see it kind of all fall apart at the last minute, I'm sure he's not happy. And, like I said, we'll see what kind of announcement he comes out with later today. He's got a press conference scheduled for this afternoon.
Oh, boy. You have a very good bill that you told me about and I started reading. I haven't read it as thoroughly, but I want to talk to you about it. It's putting in a scoring system or a ranking system on capital projects, and I believe you have that put into the Department of Revenue.
It's into OMB.
OMB, okay. Office Management Budget, okay.
Yep. And that's the governor's budget people. And, yeah, so we drafted this bill. Took us a little longer than we'd hoped to get everything put together with legal. You know, well, that happens sometimes. But it got introduced a couple of weeks ago. It's SB 227. And what it would do is it puts together a group inside of OMB, the Office of Management and Budget. And their goal is to just look at our capital budget and the projects that get built out of there. We've had a lot of scrutiny on the operating budget, especially over the last 6 or 8 years going through the budget crisis. And we haven't had nearly as much scrutiny in the capital budget in making sure that we get the best bang for our buck. We want to make sure that we're spending money wisely, that we're not overburdening ourselves later on with maintenance costs that we didn't think about. We want to make sure that we're evaluating things in terms of things like safety, economic development, sustainability, urgency, making sure that we're funding the projects that need it now. You know, maybe something can wait a year or two. Let's find something that needs it now. So we've put that together. We're just kind of floating the idea around. Gotten some interesting feedback from some people. You were mentioning AGC earlier. I think they may have taken a little issue with one or two of the pieces in there, but the overall concept they really liked. And, a lot of the point of it is to say, let's let's make this a little bit less political. Let's make sure that we're getting the best bang for our buck, not just, hey, what's going to bring some jobs back to my district to help out with reelection next year.
You know, I look at this and I say to myself, what this does is it gives a professional ranking.
Yep.
And no matter what, you know, the legislature is going to fund what the legislature wants to fund. But it gives a ranking to show everyone, oh, this one over here that they did, that's sort of very porkish. And they didn't do this very high priority one. And so it's a very good concept, sir.
Right, and the as you said, the idea is to give it a rank, and so that ultimately the legislature is the appropriating body. That's where the final decision is going to be made.
Yeah.
But it gives you the information to say, all right, where exactly are we actually investing our dollars that's going to get us our best return?
So what it actually does too is it gives you a economic fiscal note. You know, versus just this is the cost of it, but this is a fiscal note on it.
Right, and one of the things that it does in there is we're targeting specifically how much in state funds we're spending. So if you can get a match from the feds, well, then that boosts your ROI. That boosts the ranking.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a match from a municipality, that boosts the ranking. If you're handing out a grant to a municipality and part of that grant process, you're going to get a match from a nonprofit, then that boosts the ranking. And so we're really trying to say, how far can we stretch our state dollars?
There you go. Sir, we're going to take a commercial break, okay, in Fairbanks. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Senator Rob Myers on the phone with us from Juneau, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
We need cars.
That's right. We need up to 150 quality used vehicles to fill our lots, and we'll pay you top dollar. Why trade that clean used car to a dealer or go through the hassle of selling it yourself? Just stop into Affordable Used Cars. You'll get a quick 10-minute appraisal on your vehicle. It's that easy. Plus, at Affordable Used Cars, our sales staff will make sure you always get a hassle-free experience. Remember, nobody beats an affordable deal. Nobody.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 1 below. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected again tonight, lows level off around 30 below. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow, highs level off around 10 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Senator Rob Meyer in the studio with me here. Senator, we have a caller calling in for you. Are you ready to take a phone call?
Yeah, you bet.
Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Rob Meyer, and your name is? Oh, we...
They hung up.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Hey, it was technical difficulties by upper management of KFAR while we're in a purple room. How's that for a...
There you go. I put you in here with your North Korean equipment.
Exact. Again.
Again.
So anyway, Senator, what are the things you're working on?
Well, I've got a couple of other bills that are interesting. So we've got another one, kind of a larger project called a Sunrise Board that we're working on. You may hear from a lot of groups around the state right now, workforce is on the top of everybody's minds. We're short.
Yes, it is.
We need to bring more workers into the state, things like that. Part of that we need to be talking about is occupational licensing. And, do you have to get a license to get your job? And one of the things I think that's flown under the radar a lot for a lot of people is that we've actually added a lot of licenses in the recent past. From 2012 to 2022, we added 20 occupational licenses in this state that you have to get in order to do a specific job. And I took a look at that, and that concerns me a little bit. And so I found a concept that about 15 other states use called the Sunrise Board. What it does is it says, okay, before you set up a new license or you do a significant change in scope of practice, you send it over to this board to try to get you kind of some nonpartisan, non-political advice to say, all right, somebody's bringing up a problem and saying we need a license for it. Well, what is the problem? Can we solve it another way, maybe through registration instead of a license, maybe through third-party certification, something along those lines? If you do need a license for it, let's make sure that we don't make it too onerous to get for the requirements. And the 15 states that do this, what they've discovered is that they tend to have fewer licenses, and the licenses that you do have to get, they tend to have fewer requirements. I'm trying to set this up. It would bury that board over inside of the Department of Commerce. Bring in a couple of people from Commerce, a couple of people from Department of Labor, somebody from Department of Health, somebody from Department of Law, a couple of public members to just kind of, as I said, you know, bring you some nonpartisan advice, kind of take some of the emotion out of it, some of the sensationalism sometimes, okay. And really, really let us know, all right, is this really a problem? Is a license the best way to solve it?
Okay. We're going to come back to that. I got a person hanging on here. So you ready for a phone call?
Yeah, you bet.
Scene one, take two. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Hi there, and hello to Senator Myers. As you may already know, there is a dangerous bill percolating in the House side. I know you're in the Senate. But Representative Carpenter has introduced the bill HJR 7, House Joint Resolution 7, which would enshrine a free cash handout in the Constitution, which I think is a terrible mistake. And I have a sinking feeling that Representative Carpenter is actually in favor of imposing a state income tax on hardworking Alaskans. And I'm afraid that if they pass this in the House, hope the Senate can stop it, by the way, what will happen is that the legislators will be afraid to lower down the PFD statute, because the HJR 7 does not actually put a specific amount of free cash, the PFD, that would be paid. It just simply says that the statute, whatever it is, will have to be followed. And since the legislators have have historically been afraid to alter that, it'll be a higher amount that more than we can afford, and they will slap a state income tax on it, and that will convert the PFD, which has so far has been a true and honest dividend, it will convert it to basically an income transfer public assistance payment.
Thank you, Randy. Senator, what do you think?
So, well, I know that bill's up for a vote in the House sometime soon. I believe it's technically been on the floor for over a week, but the education stuff we were talking about earlier was kind of bogging them down from getting to that one, so I expect them to have a vote on that either Wednesday or Friday, probably. I would love to see that happen because for a couple of reasons. One is because it finally takes the dividend off the table. It stops becoming a yearly political football that the legislature plays with, or that the governor can veto down. It puts it outside of the appropriations process and gets it away from the politics. Honestly, you know, what it really boils down to, you know, Randy mentioned an income tax. I don't see us passing an income tax with the people that are here right now. But we really have to talk about what is the best way to fund our state, because what we have seen around the country and around the world is if you fund your state from oil money or from natural resource money and, investment money, which is what we're becoming, it has a lot of those same properties in terms of the incentives that it puts in on government. If you fund your government that way, what you end up with is an anemic private sector. You end up with government bloat, and you end up with a lot of corruption. And we just had a study that got released just a couple of weeks ago saying that from the 70s up until now, the state of Alaska has been the most corrupt state in the country.
I take umbrage with that. I think Illinois is more corrupt than us. We might be the second most corrupt state.
Well, I mean, all he was going off of was just straight up convictions, and you know,
Okay. On the flip side of that, on the flip side of that, you could say we have the best police force, Attorney General's office. Just a thought.
Right. No, I get it. I don't want to go down too far down that road.
Hey, you're the elected official too, buddy. All of us on this phone are.
Yeah. But you know, my point is that if you want to talk about, the dividend, it's not just about the dividend. It's not just about a check. It's about what's the best way to fund our state. What's the best way that's going to get us a thriving economy? What's going to get us the best way to get us incentives to cut down our government to a reasonable, more sustainable size? What's going to get us the best incentives that gets us the best relationship between the public and our elected officials? When elected officials don't have to be accountable to the people for where the money comes from, it really changes that relationship, and we really need to be thinking about that.
Is there any thoughts of this having a sunset clause on the dividend with a cash out amount?
No. What that would do is, I mean, you could still do that, but what it does is HJR 7 says that you will pay out the dividend according to statute. Mm-hmm. You could change statute to do that, theoretically. I don't think that's quite on too many people's minds around here. You know, a lot of people have talked about, you know, for example, the POMV 50-50 plan that the governor trotted out a couple of years ago. The Senate put forward a bill last year that changed it to a 75-25 split, so the dividend only gets a quarter of the draw from the permanent fund. Then, of course, you've got the current statutory formula, which is not a five-year, not based on the draw from the fund, but based on a five-year rolling average of the earnings.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are kind of the different options that we're talking about. But, you know, the problem is that regardless of which of those plans you support, or maybe you don't support any of them, it doesn't really matter because the Supreme Court has told us, well, you could ignore whatever's in the statute and pay out whatever you want on the dividend. It doesn't matter. And so what HGR 7 is trying to do is fix that by saying, no, you're going to follow the statute. It's outside of the appropriations process.
Okay.
To me, what that does is it says that the people come first, the government comes second.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have the fight. You don't have the fight every year.
Correct.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick phone call, and then we're going to go into a commercial break. Good morning. You're on KFER Radio, and your name is?
Mike.
Hello, Mike. Hurry up. We are going to be in commercial break here in about a minute.
Speaking of corruption, I'm just curious if there's any kind of attempt to do anything about this, these tax credits that were given away up on the North Slope. Speaking of funding the state of Alaska, just throwing that out there. Thank you.
Yep. Senator, what we're going to do is we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, you can address that, okay?
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, Fairbanks, we're going to hit you with some Pat Benatar.
Hit me with your best shot.
And that's from Melissa. And then we're going to go into some Fox News, state news.
He's such a hater.
Some commercials. I like Pat.
Oh, good.
And some commercials and some weather, and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Came out here and told you the same. We believe that we can get to agreement on these issues and prevent a government shutdown, and that's our first responsibility.
There's optimism in the Middle East as well. Israel and Hamas inching toward a new deal that would free some of the roughly 130 hostages held in Gaza in exchange for a week-long pause in the war. President Biden says this could go into effect as early as Monday. America's listening to Fox News.
New from the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast.
And I had nothing to do with her disappearance.
I sit down with the people who lived the nightmares.
I was in shock. I was just devastated.
The investigators who tirelessly worked on the case.
And I really hope that they can catch this guy.
Bringing you closer to the story than you ever thought possible.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily Newsminer reports that a bill that would raise Alaska's base student allocation as well as increase funds for transportation and reading deficient students passed the Alaska House last Thursday. Representative Stanley Wright, an Anchorage Republican, successfully introduced an amendment to Senate Bill 140 that would increase the BSA by $680. The House later voted 38-2 in favor of the bill as amended. Additionally, the bill would increase transportation funding by $152 for each Fairbanks student and provide $500 each for kindergarten through third grade students who are identified as having a reading deficiency. SB 140 now heads back to the Senate for approval before it goes to Governor Mike Dunleavy's desk. In a Facebook post, Alaska Representative Frank Tomaszewski, Republican from Fairbanks, claimed that the $680 BSA increase will completely eliminate the proposed budget shortfall for our school district. Brandy Hardy, the school board president, said the increased BSA still does not rule out the possibility of closing
streaming
schools.
Live online at KFAR660.com.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you today, just $6. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizzas for $6. Customer Appreciation Day is today at GAPCO. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizza for $6.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
Pucker up, Fairbanks. Les Nichols here with Fairbanks Nissan. And this month, I'm on a mission to help you fall in love with a nicer, newer car. So if your old ride's left you brokenhearted, kiss it goodbye. And I'll give you way more than you expect when you trade it in or sell it to Fairbanks Nissan. You deserve a ride that makes your heart skip a beat. So bring me your old ride and kiss it goodbye, because you could get way more than you expect. Do other dealers leave you feeling lonely? My team's passionate about approvals. We kiss up to the banks and lenders who want to say yes to you, so kiss your old ride goodbye, and you could get way more than you expect when you trade it in or sell it to Fairbanks Nissan. But hurry. Once I help 54 people, my lips are sealed, and this deal's done. I'm Les Nichols. I'm your dealer for the people. See all my swoon-worthy rides at lessaysyes.com. That's lessaysyes.com.
Credit requires bank approval. Offer absolutely ends February 29th, 2024. See dealer for details.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Cruz, along with Melissa Burnett, in the radio station here, where we have purple walls with gold sparkles, some North Korean equipment, microphones that will drop.
Right on your head.
Yeah.
Clocks that fall off the wall.
But we got a great guest down in Juneau calling in from the snowbound. Juneau, how you doing, Senator?
I'm doing well, David.
Well, you know, you're in a probably nice room, window view, heat.
Yeah, he's got a decent office.
Not so here. Not so what they put me in.
Oh, you're such a baby.
Now, we had our last caller, Mike. Go ahead, sir.
Just remember, David, Your studio is still larger than my office down here.
That is fact. I was there. He's in a little, like this little corner.
I was in there last week.
Yeah, his little cubicle.
I concur. That's a good walk-in closet.
I'm pretty sure if you sat on his couch and he sat in his office chair, you could touch feet.
Pretty close, yeah.
Anyway, we had Mike call in, and he talked about the tax credits of being given up at Prudhoe or North Slope, and the illegal or political machinations of it.
Yeah, so you've got a few different when you talk about tax credits up on the slope, there's a few different pieces to that. One was the cashable credits that they're using for the exploration up there. They stopped handing those out in 2017. We have almost finished paying them off. I believe that we're going to pay off the very last one of those in this year's budget, and then we're over and done with. Then you've got credits in terms of what you can take off of your expenses. We should note that our current tax regime, and it's been this way since the Murkowski administration, is our severance tax is what's called a net profits scheme. So it's not just a gross of, oh, okay, how much oil did you get? What's the price of that? We take our cut. It's a net profits. So, all right, how much did you make off of that oil?
Yeah, what do you get to write off? What do you get to write off?
Yep.
Correct. And so there's the majority of the credits that we're talking about now are what are you writing off of your operating expenses and things like that. And there's some arguments about those. And, I mean, unfortunately, when you start getting all of the lawyers and the accountants involved, there's going to be some recriminations back and forth. And then the third one, and this is the one that, honestly, I hear the most of, but I don't understand why this one is quite so controversial, is there's a straight per-barrel credit that comes off of that, and it's on a sliding scale. And so, for example, at $50 a barrel, you take $8 off before you start calculating the credits. And it goes up every $10, you take a dollar off until you hit, what is it, 130, and then that's gone. The point of that, when that was put in by Governor Parnell, is that is how they make the tax progressive. Just like your income tax to the feds is progressive, this makes it a progressive tax. The previous tax structure under Governor Palin, the ACEs, it also had a provision to do the same thing. They just went about it in a different way. Instead of a per-barrel credit, they just said, well, every time you go up by a few bucks, you increase the tax rate by 0.25%. You're effectively doing the same thing. You're just doing it in two different ways. And so, you know, you can make some arguments about, you know, are we getting the correct price on the world market for our oil as the producer? And you can make those arguments, and I can see them. You know, it changes around a little bit every year, but, you know, of course, especially on the slope, it's such a long time horizon for between investment and production, you know, that you really have to have a stable structure up there for that to work. I was talking a couple of years ago to somebody down here who knows a lot more about this than I do, and they said, all right, if you go down to Texas and you talk to the frackers down there, from the decision to make the investment to getting oil, it's 30 days. If you go to North Dakota, it's 60 days. And in Alaska, it's 5 years. And, you know, some of that is based on the geology and stuff. Some of it's based on our climate up here and the fact that you're at the very, you know, the very end of a very long supply chain and the fact that you can only drill for 4 or 5 months a year.
Or the fact that every time you want to drill, you're going to get sued by environmentalists.
Yeah.
that doesn't help either, correct?
No. Ask me how I really feel, Senator.
Yeah, you know, because a lot of that stuff down in, you know, Texas, North Dakota, you know, a lot of that's coming off of private land. Up here, now you got some of the stuff on the state land, that's PICA. The state land, they still sue over that, but your suits are a lot less likely to go through. You know, Willow has taken all the lawsuits, taken up a lot of the news because Willow is on federal land, and that's the problem. When you're on state land, not saying it's perfect, but there's a lot less lawsuits that can be filed because the state's the one in charge, not the feds. And so that's what makes the difference. But you're right. That's a big difference between Texas and Alaska is who owns the land leads to a big difference in how many lawsuits there are.
Melissa is chomping at the bit to ask you a question.
I just wanted you to talk about your school bond debt reimbursement bill because I like it.
Yeah.
I gave her that one.
Whatever.
So school... Hey, I was talking to her about it last week.
Yeah.
So school bond debt is an interesting issue. You know, most people been around for a while probably remember that, you know, every few years we put up a ballot measure in Fairbanks and it says, all right, we want to bond for these projects to, you know, build a new school or to fix certain things at schools. And we expect the state to reimburse X amount of it through the school bond debt reimbursement plan. And, you know, sometimes there'd be 5-6 projects on the ballot at once. Well, the problem is that because that's ultimately coming down to whether or not the state is going to reimburse, we've had at least twice that I'm aware of where the state said, all right, no more, we're out of money, so we're not going to reimburse our part. And what that means is it comes back to your property taxpayers and it jacks up your tax rate. You know, so for example, at my house, I know that the latest round, which was from about 2016 to about 2021, that jacked my mill rate up about 2.5 mils. And what's going on is right now we have a moratorium in place, started in 2015. It runs out next year saying that, you know, the borough can still bond for whatever it wants, but the state isn't going to reimburse any of that. Now, so that's running out July 1 of next year. And we're looking at that and saying, all right, we don't want to go back to the wild, wild west of you just bond for whatever you feel like. Let's put some guardrails on it. Let's make sure that we're getting good projects because we're finding a few projects around the state that are kind of iffy as to whether or not you should really be reimbursing that way. And let's make sure that we're not being so heavily dependent on it that the next time the state's in a budget crisis, that becomes the next thing on the chopping block again and again, going back and jacking up the property tax rates back home. So what we're doing with that bill is we're combining it with a couple of already existing programs. The state maintains two lists. They call it the school construction list and the school major maintenance list. And usually they use those lists to hand out grants. To say, all right, we've got these projects around the state. The state's got $60 million that we want to throw at helping school maintenance around the state. So how far down the list do we go? Because the projects are already submitted and ranked by the Department of Education. So we already know they're going to be good projects. So what I'm saying is, all right, starting next year, in order to be eligible for new school bond debt reimbursement, it has to be projects off of that list, or those two lists, you get one project off of the construction list, you get two projects off of the major maintenance list, and it would be whatever the highest ranked projects are for your district as DEED ranks them, not as the local school district ranks it, but as DEED ranks it, because we've found a couple of projects around the state that are a little bit iffy. So, for example, we had a bond package in the Fairbanks area back about 2009, that included replacing playground equipment. Now I'm looking at that and saying, well, shouldn't you be saving the bonds for, you know,
roofs?
Roofs about to collapse? Right, you know, not playground equipment. That should be factored into your regular budget.
Yeah.
We found another one, another district in the state about 2012 that was, they got school bond debt reimbursement for replacing the concession stand at the football field.
Yep.
Now,
that should be a booster club thing.
You know, whenever I laugh on the air, that means it hurt.
yeah, it is a little painful to think about this stuff. And so, you know, what we're trying to do with this bill, again, is to make sure that we've got good, well-vetted projects, to make sure that it is a sustainable program, that, you know, maybe this makes it less likely that another moratorium, either on new debt being issued or on payment on the previous debt issued, gets made. And, you know, we can move forward a lot more smoothly with our building programs. And we pay attention to our maintenance rather than just, you know, let's build a new shiny thing instead. You know, going back to kind of what we were talking about earlier with the capital budget bill, it's really easy to go out there and do a ribbon cutting at, hey, we built a new school. It's a lot harder to go out and do a ribbon cutting at, well, we replaced the HVAC. Well, okay, but that's still necessary, even though it's not necessarily as shiny and doesn't garner the headlines. But, you know, let's make sure that we're making some good planning here to make our physical plant last as long as possible.
There you go. Senator, we're going to take a quick commercial break, okay?
You bet.
Fairbanks, you're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Call in and tell me how I'm doing in front of upper management, Alyssa. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Interior Alaska Cancer Association is a nonprofit organization that helps cancer patients and their families and educates the community about cancer-related issues. They are here to help physicians and members in the interior fight cancer. They provide support groups, financial assistance, and resource guidance for those who have cancer. For more details, go to interioralaskacancer.org. This message proudly brought to you by the radio station located in downtown Fairbanks at 529 Fifth Avenue.
Own the road. Ride on the Cooper Discoverer AT3 family of all-season tires from GCR Tires and Service. Redefine the limits of Alaska's ever-changing roads. AT3 means all season on and off the road. Designed for aggressive performance on rocks, loose gravel, snow, ice, and mud. Yet exceptionally quiet and responsive on the road. Own the road. Ride on the Cooper Discoverer AT3 family of tires. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching 1 below. West winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 30 below. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow, 10 below. A dusting of snow today through tonight. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Senator Rob Meyer in the phone system with me, direct from Juneau. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, David.
Now, me and Melissa here, we're going to throw some odds about this education bill in front of the governor.
Well, if so, I want to start with, if you listened to our school board meeting last night, which I'm sure a lot of people probably didn't have time to, and if they did, I said a few things in our meeting last night. Our school board president actually tried to walk back the school closures a little bit, and I made a statement, and I said, you know, we need to be careful with this budget season because that bill really, really upset a lot of representatives, and I don't think it has the power for an override. If it does have the power for an override, the governor has the ability, when it comes to the appropriations and divvying out the money, to still slash that BSA. So, you know, there's a lot of things. Looks like there might be a call.
Well, no, we lost it.
Oh.
Veto or not?
No, because I want the teacher stipends back in.
Senator, what do you think, veto or not?
I'm leaning towards he will. The governor put out a Facebook post yesterday, not long after the Senate okayed the House changes, and was expressing his significant displeasure with what came out of it. He wants to make sure that we're putting our money, not just, you know, back into the amount of money that we get back into the system, but we're putting it where it's going to do the most good. And I think he's not happy that.
Yeah, I misunderstood the question. I was on an override. He's definitely going to veto.
Okay. I choose veto, yes.
Yeah, he's going to veto.
We're going to take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Rob Meyer. And your name is?
April.
Hello, April.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about, since you guys are talking about the school funding and about having responsible spending, I wanted to talk to Senator Myers about the school closures in the Fairbanks district and hoping that he can see that even if the bill doesn't get vetoed for the school funding, that closing the Eielson school at a minimum is really what's best for excellent and equitable education.
Well, April, excuse me if I'm wrong or inaccurate here, but during the final discussions of the last school contract, there were three people who said on the school board, you have to make a decision if you're going to pass this bill. Do you want to close schools and give a price and give a wage increase?
This is the negotiations.
Yeah, this is what you're doing. If you give this wage increase, you're closing schools.
Yeah.
Am I correct in that was said prominently?
Well, that's definitely what I said.
I know,
she said
April.
It loud and clear.
I know, April. I didn't want to give people your last name.
They said I didn't know what I was talking about when I said you can have more teachers with a nominal increase, or you can have fewer teachers with the large increase that they were asking for. And they got what they asked for, and now we have to reduce positions. I don't see how that's shocking. But in the school closures, you know, for me, I have thought that the kids at Eielson were not getting what they are due, and that it's not equal to the education being received at other schools around the district due to their size and their location. And honestly, even if we had no budget shortfall, that should be a consideration for getting the best education for those students out there.
April, thank you very much for the phone call. Greatly appreciate it. You have a great day. Thank you for calling in.
She's 100% correct.
How do you like that for a little education here at KFAR Radio, Senator? I remember history. What's that?
I said we're definitely getting down into the weeds here.
Yes, we do.
I'm pretty sure April goes at him on a daily.
Yeah, boy, I hate to see your email inbox. So, how much of your time this last month was spent, you know, listening to the education issue?
A fair amount. It was interesting to watch because so much of it was going on behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And so much of it was we thought we had a deal and they go on the floor and it falls apart. And again, you know, most of what was going on over in the House. So for myself over in the Senate, I'm really not much more of a, I'm really almost as much a spectator as you know, the average
yep.
citizen.
I've got a great spectator for you. I get to watch this. We're going to have the fight between what's more important, puppies or students?
Puppies or students.
You ready for a phone call?
Yeah, go for it.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Rob Meyer, and your name is?
Yes, this is Jack.
Hello, Jack.
I've got a couple of questions. I caught the tail end of your program today. We've got kids that are graduating middle schools, high schools, and our younger elementary area, that they can't even read and do basic math and pass
mm-hmm.
their test.
Yep.
The other thing is this state doing anything about the illegals coming up here and the drugs and the gang issues? I know for a fact that a bunch of illegals were being flown in here at night. We have enough problems with the brain dead sitting in the White House and our nation. I'm a disabled vet, and I spent 25 years of my life protecting my flag and my nation. And forgive me, I'm tired of seeing this country go to hell.
No forgiveness necessary. Appreciate the phone call and appreciate the question. Senator, what do you think?
And I'd like to know what their plans are for keeping the illegals out of this state.
Okay. I'll address the first one. First, you're talking about reading in the schools, and no, that's definitely an issue. That's why we passed the Reads Act a couple of years ago. We're starting to see some effects of that. I've seen the returns from the Fairbanks area, at least. I haven't seen anything from the rest of the state showing that it's starting to work. We got a long way to go, but we definitely have seen some benefit from it. And the point of that is, if you can get make sure kids are reading by the time they're in third grade, then that's going to give them a boost and a leg up as they get further on down the line. I think that's a good policy. It was created in Florida about 20 years ago, and there's about a dozen or 15 states that have adopted it by now. As far as illegal immigration, the big thing that we're talking about down here has to do with the drugs coming off of that, fentanyl and a couple of other things. The governor's got a couple of bills out on that. One thing that it would do in there is it would criminalize it so that if they could trace the fentanyl that somebody sold to a guy that OD'd and died, then the guy that sold it would get a murder charge. As of right now, he's just getting drugs. He's just getting drug charges, and I think it might occasionally get a manslaughter charge, but they're going to up that to a murder charge. I know that the governor is talking a lot about pouring some money into working with the DEA and the FBI, because all these things are coming in from out of state, and our jurisdiction stops at the state boundary, and so he's doing what they can to identify how the drugs are getting in. A lot of it's coming in by mail, guys smuggling it up on airplanes. And so he's been working with those groups at the federal level to identify where those drugs are coming from and interdict them.
Okay.
So you've probably seen over the last couple of years some different news announcements of some major drug busts, drug rings coming up here. So they're having an effect. I don't know if it's enough, but they're having an effect.
Appreciate the answer, Jack. Appreciate the call and the question. I've had to hang up on you because I got three other phone calls lined up and 2 minutes to do it in. Here we go. Just lost them. Okay. Just lost everyone.
That's okay. We're at the end of the show.
Yeah, we got 3 minutes left. Senator, I really appreciate you being able to call in. And when I went down to Juneau, this made it a priority to come in and say hello to you. You're an exceptional person. You're not in a caucus. You're not in a majority. You're not in a minority. But what I found is you're very well respected and listened to.
Yep.
And you might have the audacious aspect of getting more bills passed this session than anyone else.
Yeah.
That is a possibility. Of course, nothing is certain until the last day, but that definitely is a possibility right now. It's interesting to see how few bills are actually getting passed because we're having these budget issues, other issues with education and the like, kind of bogging down the process. And our policy since we got here last year was just, all right, find those little cracks where you can make a little bit of progress. Nothing earth-shattering, but every little bit helps. You solve a little problem here and there, pretty soon it starts to add up.
There you go. Appreciate it. Well, we've got about a minute left. Sir, how do you want to end it?
Well, I just want to say thanks, everybody, for listening. If you've got any questions about any of the bills or other, either bills from that my office is running or what else is going on down the legislature, feel free to shoot me an email or call the office. I am at senator.robert.myers@akleg.gov, or you can call the office 907-465-3719, and we'll do our best to answer questions or try to solve problems if we can.
Senator, thank you so much for being not only on the air with us, but for giving incredible representation for your area and the state of Alaska. I really appreciate it. You have a great day, and Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow with Joni Skillbred. It's a history day. Y'all have a great day.